Welcome to a tax season edition of the MIA All Day Podcast. I am your host, Carlos Ledo. It's been a while, like Stained. If you don't get that reference, you need to start listening to 90s, well, actually 2000s alternative rock. Great band, Stained. Anyway, I felt it's been too long, and I felt there's a lot of stuff that's gone on, and I've also been struck with some inspiration regarding creation for the channel, putting out episodes, not just here on audio, but also doing more stuff with YouTube. You know, I really haven't given YouTube the attention that it deserves. I have not nurtured it. I haven't stroked its spine as if it were the monster book of monsters to calm it down. Or been watching a lot of fishing videos. And shout out to somebody that I'm going to be interviewing soon. We'll talk about that later. Stroking the, I don't know what the hell it's called, the precipice. The crab penis to put a blue crab to sleep before you hook him as bait. So bottom line is I've got to get YouTube some more attention, some more care. Got to take YouTube out on some dates, you know, wine it, dine it, smack it up, flip it, rub it down. Oh no, I need a body bag. I need to do that for YouTube so I can grow that and see where it goes. Because I mean, I am depriving the world of this middle-aged, patchy bearded, you know, half gray salt and pepper, on occasion, all black when I use my Just For Men goatee and beautiful face. Anyway, I think it's a little more interactive. I think it's interesting to see, especially with the ideas that I have coming up. So first, let's get to, you know what? I'll give you some, the channel, the ideas for the channel moving forward, and then we'll get into what we've missed here over the last couple months with regards to the gains. So, when I started the MIA All Day Podcast, my idea wasn't for it to be just a Hurricanes, you know, focused, 100% Hurricane-focused podcast. I was going to discuss the Hurricanes mainly just because, you know, that is my biggest passion in terms of Miami and South Florida sports. Although I am equally passionate about the Miami Heat. Well, I would say just a tick below for the Heat and Dolphins. But I love the Dolphins. I love the Heat. You know, I follow the Marlins. You know, I grew up watching the Marlins. I didn't grow up watching the Marlins. You know, it was 1993. I was like 14 years old when they came about. But, you know, I'm a Marlins fan. So, but the Canes have always been my biggest passion. And that's why it leaned that way. And then I jumped on Wide Right with Manny in it. And it became more and more about the Canes than about anything else than the original vision for what I had for what I wanted to do. Well, I actually jumped on Wide Right first, and then I started to spin off. But my original idea was to also tell stories about, you know, people from Miami that grew up in Miami that are also Hurricanes or Miami sports fans. And have them tell their stories, have them talk, interview them, talk to them about their upbringing, talk to them about their experiences in South Florida, using sports as a backdrop, using the city as a backdrop for interesting stories. Because I think there's something very special and unique about growing up in Miami, growing up in South Florida, the meshing of cultures, the ties that bind us down here, you know, with sports. And the city itself, so iconic places in the city. To me, it's interesting because, you know, growing up, when you went to the Orange Bowl for a football game, that to me was the ultimate melting pot. That was the place where politics, religions, you know, race, nationality, all of that literally got left at the gate. And when you crossed into the Orange Bowl and you sat in the closed end zone, in general admission, shoulder to shoulder with 75, 77, 78,000 other people that were there to cheer on the same team, and give the opponent hell, that was eye-opening for me. It was not just it wasn't really eye-opening. It was because I grew up in an environment where it was very much that way anyway. But it was the ultimate sign of unity and what we can be as a people when we let go of biases, when we let go of preconceived notions, when we forget about things that may seem important on the way in, but ultimately really don't matter as much as, you know, the things that separate us don't matter as much as the things that bring us together. And I think the Hurricanes, for me, that's why I love them so much. They were, to me, the ultimate, you know, glue for the city of Miami in terms of culture. I think, you know, the Dolphins obviously were there first, or, you know, the Hurricanes were there too, but the Dolphins were the important ones. The Dolphins brought the city together, but it was a different sort of bonding experience and crowd. I think the way the Hurricanes meshed the inner city, the suburbs, you know, the neighborhoods, whether it be Little Havana, Overtown, Liberty City, Hialeah, you know, all the way to even Broward, Fort Lauderdale, Sunrise, people in Boca, Coral Gables down in the south, Kendall, Cutler Ridge, you know, Cutler Bay, all those areas came together on game day as one, where maybe at other times they weren't ultimately together, or saw, they didn't see eye to eye. On game day for the Hurricanes in that Orange Bowl, everyone was united, right? Everyone was laughing and screaming and cheering and high-fiving and enjoying the game together, giving each other hugs after touchdowns and big plays. That, to me, is a memory, or you know, just a feeling and a set of memories that I will always hold dear to me in my heart. And what I had as the idea for this podcast was to, you know, show how different people have different experiences of life and different grew up different ways, but have this single connection point, whether it be the city of Miami or the Hurricanes or a specific sports team, that unite them and connect them to other people that may not have grown up the same way, that may not have had the same life experiences, but they have that one point of connection together, that through line that bonds them and creates an instant connection point, an instant opportunity for unity and friendship and just, you know, camaraderie. And that to me is important. So that's what I want to do moving forward. So in that vein, I am going to be doing more interviews. I want to do, or interviews at all, because I think, I don't remember the last time I did an interview. I think it might have been Manny. Before that was OJ McDuffie when I first did the channel. Anyway, the idea is, and forgive me if I'm rambling because I'm shooting from the hip like Rambo here. That's my Stallone. So the idea here is I'm going to be interviewing different people from that are social media, you know, creators, content creators, or people that are known in the South Florida community through, you know, their various business dealings or activities or what they do. And I think the first guy I'm going to bring on is one who's very interesting in terms of him hitting a lot of those buttons and checking a lot of those boxes in ways that you normally wouldn't see. So, I'm going to leave that for now. I'm not going to say who it is. All right, I'll say who it is, because maybe some of you guys don't know who he is. Probably a lot of you guys don't know who he is, but, his name is Shannon Bustamante. His YouTube channel is Sharkin' with Seaweed. Shannon is a Pop Warner coach, an Optimus coach for the Miami Shore Spartans. And he's also a YouTube creator, content creator, where he focuses on a lot of fishing videos. So he goes out, he fishes, he's you know, growing up, fished in shark tournaments, shark catching tournaments, grew up fishing his whole life, you know, had some interesting experiences growing up. Eventually got into what he's doing now with Sharking with Seaweed, has also had his own business, or has his own business, rehabbing and flipping properties. He's local, lives in Miami Springs, is a huge Canes fan. And you'll see how big when we talk about his experiences and his Canes fandom on the show. But I think he's an interesting guy to talk to. An interview because of his experience growing up in South Florida, how the Canes tie into his life, what he's doing now, and the whole deal, because he runs the whole gamut, right? He runs a business. He coaches kids at the Optimus level, so he can give us some insight there in terms of what the future looks like for South Florida talent and how the Optimus and Pop Warner leagues are run. He, you know, fishing content creator, which if you like fishing, he's a great guy to watch. He breaks down how he gets things and does things, and it's very interesting. But just a general overall good conversation. That's what I want to do. So if you guys have any ideas for other people that I should interview or people you can connect me with that you think share, you know, are in line with what I'm looking for, which is that, you know, it's Miami sports fandom, whether it's the Hurricanes, Heat, Dolphins, preferably the Canes, and have an interesting backstory, interesting, you know, path in life, and the Hurricanes or one of the other South Florida State sports teams that helped shape their life. I think that would be interesting to do. All right. So send that to me on Twitter via DM or email me at miaalldaypod@gmail.com. All right, guys. So, hey, what have we missed since I've been gone? Hey, Cam Ward chose the Hurricanes. How about that? I guess Reese Poffenbarger wasn't the chosen one after all, right? You know, I felt like Reese Poffenbarger was going to be a project from the beginning. I didn't want to, you know, piss on anybody's parade. I didn't want to shit on anybody's feelings. I tried not to, but, you know, I tried to be as vague as possible without saying, ultimately, I don't think he's all that great. But you guys forced my hand, and I had to break him down, do that episode where I broke down his mechanics and broke down his flaws and the things that I saw that were wrong with him. Now, those things are correctable if he gets good coaching. Now, has Shannon Dawson in 1 year proven to me that he is a quarterback developer? Not yet. Maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully that changes moving forward. But he did get what I felt he needed was a veteran, experienced quarterback that can operate the offense with little to no coaching, and that's Cam Ward. Okay, Cam Ward's played a lot of football. He's played at a high level, played in the Pac-12, and he comes in with some very serious success. Does he have warts? Does he have some flaws? Yes. His number one, the fumbles, right? He's fumbled the ball a ton in his career, and that, to me, is mainly due to the way he holds the ball loosely as he scrambles in the pocket or he feels pressure or tries to make plays with his legs. Again, that's easily correctable, and I think he's going to work on that moving into the season, because he wants to get drafted, and I don't think he was happy with his draft grade or recommendation when he put his name into the draft projection portal or whatever the hell they call it. And probably his turnover issues were one of the reasons why he wasn't rated as high. So I think Cam's going to work on using two hands as he escapes the pocket or moves around in the pocket and when he tries to make plays with his legs. But the overall feeling here is very exciting, because he was probably the best quarterback in the portal, or one of the best quarterbacks at the very least in the portal. He, to me, yes, I like KJ Jefferson, but I also like Cam Ward. I think KJ might have been a better fit, but Cam is the guy, and I'm happy with it, because I think he can be very successful in this offense. He's coming from a run and shoot offense, which is a little bit different than the air raid, but it's similar in some ways. But the good news is he's thrown the ball a ton. He's had to read a ton of defenses. He's had to go through a lot of progressions. And he does a lot of things well that TVD didn't do so well, which to me is he doesn't lock on to receivers. He's got good eye discipline. He moves the defense with his eyes and his head. He manipulates the secondary, and he knows where to go with the football. He's not very... you know, for the amount of passes he threw last season, 7 interceptions is, to me, minuscule. I think he can be very good here at Miami with the weapons down here, and I think he has an opportunity to be great. But I think, like I said before in another episode, not only that, I think I said it on Wide Right, he's only going to be as good as Shannon Dawson allows him to be. So Shannon Dawson also has to step up his game and take advantage of Cam Ward and his abilities to throw the football down the field and to read defenses and manipulate coverage. So he's got to be a little bit more creative with his play calling, his designs, and giving Cam the opportunity and the resources he needs to be successful and to make this offense explosive. I think one of the things the Hurricanes need to address, probably in the second transfer portal window, is tight end. They need a veteran tight end that can catch the football. Another thing that happened over the break was, yes, Cam McCormick is back for his 9th season. You know, he was a good blocker, but he just didn't produce anything in the passing game. So he's a glorified offensive lineman. And the Hurricanes need a little bit more production in the pass game. They need a threat in the pass game from that tight end position. If they can land a transfer portal tight end, or if one of these young tight ends, you know, just blossoms during the spring, that would be fantastic. But they need something, a threat in the middle of the field, a threat underneath, something consistent they can go to aside from Xavier Restrepo to open up the opportunities for the receivers on the outside. I think that is huge for the Hurricanes, and it is a big need moving forward. But overall, Cam Ward picking the Hurricanes, that's a big get. That's going to be positive. Also, Mish Powell coming over from Washington, you know, labeled as a DB, may want to play corner, may want to play safety. I think he's probably best off at safety here. And the reason why I say that is, you know, it's a huge position of need for the Hurricanes right now after losing James Williams and Cam Kitchens. They need a veteran safety back there to organize that back half of the defense. And then another one of the young guys can plug in next to Mish. But I think you need that one guy, that one leader back there to really be the guy that sets the tone and organizes that secondary and is able to get people in the right spots and not make mistakes on the back end and not give up big plays. So I think this is huge for the Hurricanes. I would argue Cam Ward for the offense is probably the biggest offseason move coming into the season. Clearly, I think Mish Powell, you know, signing with the Hurricanes and signing transfer over is maybe not as equally as huge, but it's right up there because of what the Hurricanes lost in that safety room and what that secondary means to a defense, especially when you're going up against, you know, more and more teams that are more pass happy. I think having a veteran safety that knows what he's doing back there is solid and doesn't give up big plays is going to be huge. And not only that, but remember, safeties have to come up and support in the run game and be disciplined and have the right run fit and not be fooled by play action. And a veteran guy that could be back there and lead the team in the secondary and stop big plays and be disciplined, I think is huge. So those to me are the biggest additions that you got to talk about. You know, overall, how do we feel about the season? You know, 7-5 in a crappy bowl game, not fun, you know, not fun, but there is reason to be optimistic, right? There are reasons to be optimistic. There's opportunities for the Hurricanes coming into the season. I think the offensive line continues to be a strength. I think they will develop into an even better unit this year with a little bit more seasoning from, Francis Maninoa, Mawagoa, Maninoa. I really don't know how to pronounce his name anymore. I've heard it 15 different ways. Anyway, and maybe you see a Jalen Rivers kick inside. Maybe move somebody out of the starting lineup. Who knows? But who knows? I know the Hurricanes are going to put the best five offensive linemen out there. I think they're deep enough now to have a collection of guys they can go to. And I think that starting five is going to be somewhere near the top of the ACC, if not the top of the ACC, which is going to be a huge help to that offense. I think defensively, the defensive line continues to grow and be a strength. I think the transfer portal additions were huge. I think recruiting was great in that area. I think the linebacker room is a strength as opposed to a weakness from years past. You know, the secondary still concerns me a little bit at the corner spots. Safety is, you know, with Mish Powell back there, feels better. So to me, the secondary is the biggest concern coming into the season on the defensive end. But I think it'll work out. We'll see. I think this team has the potential to be very good in that, you know, minimum 9-3, probably in that 10-2 range. If they really put it all together, who knows? Who knows what this team is capable of? Maybe 11-1. They should be competing for an ACC title spot and going from there, man. If they have the potential to be top 12 and make a playoff spot, which would be fantastic, which would be a quantum leap in Mario's third year. And I think would benefit him greatly in terms of his reputation and his recruiting. Although he's done fantastic in recruiting, I don't know if a third mediocre year will allow him to continue to have the same success. I think he's going to have to show progression and start showing more sort of rapid progression in year three than what he's shown in the first 2 years. So, yeah, he tore the foundation down in year one. Understandable. He replaced a lot of that foundation in year two. Now in year three, we're starting to put the cosmetics in, you know, the aesthetic stuff. The foundation is already built. Time to start make the house look pretty to put it on the market. I think it's time the Canes start taking that quantum leap. I think 9-3, you know, 10-2 to me would be ideal. And I think with the additions so far, who knows what's coming now in the spring or what's going, right? Who's going to leave? Will be a huge step up for the Hurricanes. So there you go. There's a quick episode for you, letting you know what the details are or what the plans are for the pod moving forward. Hope to have Shannon Bustamante, aka Sharkin with Seaweed, coming up soon for you guys. Peace.